Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry.
This is James, and I'm sitting here with J.R. Parks, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Okay, certainly. My name is, as he said, J.R., and deacon at Front Street Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina. I also work in the IT field. I am married. We do not currently have any children, and yeah, I work with the youth at church, teach 11th to 12th graders in Sunday school, small group leader for the students as well, and do some other things around the church as well there.
Okay. Awesome. You're also part of a different podcast as well, correct?
Yes. Myself, along with a guy named Jay Allen Murray and Jared Cornett, we all three co-host the Potluck Podcast, Southern Baptist Conversations. And we seek to address issues and events within Southern Baptist life, as well as we get into some Southern culture topics as well in each episode. So we'll usually do three topics per episode where two of them will be Southern Baptist issues or events or things. You know, most recently, of course, we were talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, the annual meeting in Phoenix that I had the pleasure of going to. And then the third topic tends to be a Southern culture topic that we'll end the episode with. Myself, and I had originally been talking to a number of folks about starting a podcast to talk about Southern Baptist issues and events. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but a lot of them are from other viewpoints, whether Baptist or Presbyterian but there wasn't anything that was specifically Southern Baptist. And so I've been talking with some guys about it and eventually came across Jared Cornett and Jay Allen, who said that they were looking to do the same thing. And so we decided, you know, let's start a podcast. Let's talk about the kind of things that are important to us as Southern Baptist.
Okay. Awesome. I actually have listened to most of y'all's podcast, and the only thing I want to point out first off is you should not put sugar in cornbread.
I agree.
And secondly, I can't remember which one of y'all said something about white barbecue sauce.
But that would be the guy from Alabama, Jared Cornett.
But it is amazing. But it's not good on pork or anything like that. I do want to clarify that. Okay. But it may be an Alabamian thing, since I'm in Alabama myself.
Certainly. Jared Cornett spoke very highly when we talked about that, of Alabama white sauce on pork. Jay Allen had a little bit different take. He said it was pretty good on poultry. But not
it's great on chicken. That's the way to go.
I have not had it either way. And honestly, the idea of a mayonnaise-based barbecue sauce just doesn't sound appetizing to me.
Well, it is on chicken, but it's almost like a ranch, really. So that's kind of what's good about it. But as we get into alpha food, that's kind of y'all's thing, not mine. But I just had to point out about that with cornbread. Another thing y'all got to talk about is when people put sugar in spaghetti. That should never happen. But anyway.
Is spaghetti specifically a Southern thing? I don't know that would really fall in our wheelhouse, but I'll keep that in mind. We'll put that on the list.
All right. Well, with y'all starting the podcast, you've only been going for about 20 weeks now.
That's correct. Yeah, episode 20 comes out tomorrow.
Okay. So really, with all three of y'all living in different places, I really wanted to just discuss that, but also, what are some other difficulties you've just faced with starting the podcast and getting it going? And maybe ours are similar to yours. I'm not sure.
Sure. I mean, technology, fortunately, has made it very easy. We can record from different places. We actually wanted to record while I was in Phoenix at the SBC. Unfortunately, my hotel Wi-Fi was terrible, so that wasn't going to happen. But for the most part, at least when we're all at home, it's easy, thanks to technology, for us to record. The biggest struggle, I guess, and it's probably the case anytime you try to get together with people, is scheduling. We try to have one set night that we record each week. Usually doesn't happen. Jay Allen's a lead pastor at his church, and Jared Cornett's a youth pastor, but he's also a doctorate student at Midwestern. So he's got requirements there along with his requirements at his church, and then my church responsibilities as well as my job and other things. Probably the biggest struggle is just all of us sitting down at the same time to actually record.
That's been one of our biggest things too, but as we were talking about before we got started, ours has been in person, and both the guys that helped me with it now live an hour and a half away at least from where I live. But hopefully we're going to start doing something like this right here so we can online, so we can record more recently, because we actually haven't got all three of us on one podcast yet. And we're only five episodes in, but still.
Sure.
Do y'all record ahead or do y'all – pretty much record each week?
Yeah, we try to record at least one episode each week. We recently recorded a couple episodes because things like vacations and things, you know, Jay Allen's on a mission trip right now to Montana. So we recorded a couple extra episodes to sort of plug in when we can't get together, when scheduling just doesn't work, or we know ahead of time, hey, you know, we're going to be gone. It's not going to work this week. So we'll record ahead of time. Usually have one or two episodes sort of stuck back that we can put in that aren't necessarily – the topics aren't necessarily time sensitive that we can then use if we, you know, get into a bind there with recording, or even if we know ahead of time that we can't record this week. It does help that with scheduling, it does help that at least we're all in North Carolina. So all in the same time zone, which certainly helps.
Yeah, that I imagine would be hard because just to tell everybody my fault, we got started about 15 minutes late because apparently I don't know my time zone's good at all. How has promoting been for y'all? Because that's been kind of my biggest struggle because I hate self-promoting.
Sure. So. It's gone pretty well, I guess. It's, you know, social media and the Facebook page, as well as we probably a month ago now, we partnered with the Baptist Review as part of their media collective. There's some other podcasts there as well. And that has certainly helped us as well. There's a Facebook group that the Baptist Review has, as well as their website and information as well. And that has certainly helped us as far as promoting episodes, because we can promote in not only other groups that we're each in, but in that group specifically because of our relationship with the wonderful folks over at the Baptist Review.
Yeah, I imagine that helps out a lot, being part of a network. Well, my next question on the about the podcasting, and then to get on the topic of our podcast here, we really talk about ministry, so I wanted to get into how you serve the church and different areas like that. But the last question I have about podcasting would be, is what would be the best, the biggest blessing, I say that in quotation marks, that you've seen with starting the podcast?
Sure. The desire to start the podcast really stemmed from a desire to become more involved in SBC life. And that has certainly been a big part of that. I was blessed to, because of the podcast, have the opportunity to be on the CP stage in Phoenix at the SBC as part of a panel there. And all three of us, starting this year, are on various committees at the state level for our state convention as well. So the biggest blessing, I think, has just been being able to get more involved in SBC life and see, as a result, all the wonderful things that we can do as we work together as a network of churches, as a convention.
Since you started the podcast and being more involved, how have you battled with discouragement when looking at the issues and all of that?
I grew up as a preacher's kid, so nothing is really surprising to me when it comes to the stuff that happens in churches. So I see stuff like that, and if I see stuff like that, it really doesn't – I recognize it, but it doesn't really bother me at this point. I just know that, you know, it's part of the fact that, you know, we're still all going through a sanctification process, and
a bunch of broken people getting together and trying to serve the Lord. It's going to be messy.
Yeah, we all have the same end goal, and we're all going to get there together. We're going to help each other out. We're going to show each other a lot of grace, and just do the best we can with the Lord's help.
Okay. Well, let's transition. One question that I've asked every guest we've had, and I'll continue to do so, I think, as we do the podcast, is what do you, or how would you define an everyday minister?
I think
coming
that,
from somebody that's not a pastor, but really just a servant in the church, I would love to hear your take on it.
Sure. I think it's the buzzword for a number of years was missional, but I think it's having that mindset, having that Great Commission mindset as we go throughout our everyday lives. You know, I work in a secular world. I work in the IT field. In healthcare, and it's about taking our calling as Christians that was given to us in the Great Commission, taking that to just our everyday activities, work, the places we go to eat, our commutes, whatever it is, that we just take that mission along with us, and we're being, you know, another buzzword, intentional about
you got to say relational next.
Yeah, you know, about serving the Lord and fulfilling the Great Commission as we're just doing going about our everyday life.
I agree. That's kind of what we've defined it as. And a lot of times when we think of minister, it definitely comes with a connotation of a pastor, youth pastor, worship leader, whatever. Sure. But really, that's a large part of this podcast is speaking to pastors and pastors talking. But one thing I love to do and I desire for us to do as often as possible is having conversations with those that are just a part of the church and serve the church, maybe, you know, through their gifts that they've naturally gotten, or like you as a deacon, or, you know, just helping in different ways. Because ultimately, we're all called to go out and share the gospel and make disciples and all of those things that we find in the Great Commission. But you say you're a deacon at your church. And so tell us the name of your church. You may have told us this already. I'm sorry you have. And just kind of where it's at and just a little bit about it. And then if you don't mind, just go in depth and what you do as a youth leader and all of that.
Certainly. I serve at Front Street Baptist Church. That's in Statesville, North Carolina. Our lead pastor is Tim Stutz. And he's been there for quite a number of years, long before I came to the church. And he was the youth pastor before he was the lead pastor there. He's a wonderful man of God, and I greatly appreciate his preaching, as well as the service of our other pastors, our worship pastor, our youth and missions pastor as well. Those guys are both great as well and do great work there in the church. So one of the things I do is serve as a deacon, at least now. That's a rotating position at our church, so I will serve for two-year terms for that, at which point I will have to rotate off, and I can then serve again if I'm asked to do so after another term has passed. In our church, deacons are not church government. I know in some churches, some Baptist churches, the deacons are viewed almost as elders or something of that nature where they are in church government. At Front Street, we follow what we believe to be the example we see in Scripture, which is a deacon as a servant. So the kind of things we do are hospital visitations. We have a rotation where every 6 weeks, I'll have hospital visitation along with another deacon, and we will visit our folks who are in the hospital, just had surgery, etc. We also have we're assigned some shut-ins that we help take care of and visit as well as part of that. There's some other things that we do with the church around security and things of that nature as well. One of the other roles that I have, and I've had really since I came to Front Street, was working with the teenagers. I teach Sunday school, 11th and 12th graders, and that's an interesting age group. You know, they're fixing to go off to college, and there's a lot of things talk to them about, and that you want to address before they reach that. It's a very critical age, and I have greatly enjoyed that as well. Also, I'm a small group leader in our youth group on Sunday nights, and do some other things. I chair the hospitality committee because I love to cook. So when we have different events throughout the year, I help with that, help coordinate and run all of that, as well as, of course, the cooking, the meals for that as well. So that's been an interesting one for me. I'm very much an introvert, and everything that I do at church involves me not being an introvert. So it's been very interesting to sort of grow in those and learn how I do that with the way that I'm wired. How do I do that and not burn out, for one thing, because it's a foreign thing to me. It's interesting.
You also work in IT though, don't you?
I do.
So do you not talk to a lot of people at work as well?
I talk to as few people as I can at work.
because with doing a podcast and doing all that in the church, and then a job like that, the only thing that makes you an introvert would probably be that long drive you have to and from work, right?
Well, yeah, an introvert versus an extrovert. An introvert gains energy from not being around people, and an extrovert gains energy from being around people. So it's not that I don't like talking to people, interacting with people. It's just that it's draining, and I have to learn to adjust my schedule accordingly. At work, I do occasionally have to talk to customers and things of that nature, but my role recently has morphed a little bit, and I'm doing most of the internal IT support. So I'm working on, you know, our network and things of that nature, where I don't really have to interact with that many folks on a daily basis.
That's good. I bet that 1-6 weeks where you have to do the visits and all of that, I imagine you're exhausted that week.
I set my schedule. I learned really early on, for my own mental health, that I set my schedule in a certain way to give myself downtime. Because if I don't, I'll just go and go and go and do a whole bunch of things and then eventually crash. And I've had to learn to set my schedule to give myself that time, and then just be very protective of that time.
Yeah, I haven't learned how to do that yet. but I'm only 25, so I feel like I can run until I get old or something. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not used to being the old guy on the phone call or the interview. So, yeah.
How old are you?
I turned 27 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, happy birthday. I'll turn 26 in a few weeks myself. Okay. But my schedule, I work part-time job, pastor of church part-time, and I'm in seminary actually. So my schedule is rough sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But as we have talked about, you just how you serve the church, and really you're just an aid to the church. And not to sound condescending, but you pretty much fulfill what Acts would show as a deacon, you know, especially when you said ministering to the shut-ins and all of that.
That's what we seek to do. We're told right up front when the office of deacons explained to us, our church people know this, we know this, that, you know, there are certain things like that that we're given. Also, it's just, if we see a need, we're going to seek to fill it or find someone who's maybe a better fit to fill it or whatever the case may be. You know,
sure.
Our goal is to serve the church.
All right. So as somebody that's your goal, that's what you desire to do. And I know your roles would probably change whenever you're no longer a deacon and you rotate off. You would still do that. You're still going to serve the church and seek to help it as well and as great as you can. So it kind of gets me to the next question. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll still be a youth leader. I'll still teach Sunday school. You know, I'll still be involved in some other roles as well. That's one thing that I'm doing right now. And I'll be doing that for, you know, I guess 2 more years. and before I rotate off for at least 2 years. And but even once I'm no longer deacon, I'll still be serving in those other ways. And probably if I'm not doing that, I'll pick up something else as well.
So as someone that is a support to the church, what would you like to say to maybe, well, I want to address this question in two ways. What would you say to the general leadership of the church, the elders of the church, then also someone that assists in the youth? What would you say to a youth pastor?
Okay, so the question is what I would say to the pastor or the elder team, and then a separate question of what I would say to the youth pastor?
Yeah. As a deacon, as a just someone that supports the church, it can be something encouraging, or if it's something that you want them to stray away from, or just something that you feel like most people in your position would just like for them to know. However you want to answer, it's up to you.
Okay. As far as pastors, elders, it's teach the word. You know, I hope and pray that you're doing that anyway. I'm very blessed and very happy to be at Front Street, where I get that. But it's focus on God. It's teach His word to God's people.
So what would you say to the youth leader, youth pastor, as someone that helps in the small groups and things like that? Same thing, or would you elaborate differently?
I mean, that would certainly apply to them as well. Youth pastor, have fewer lock-ins.
I did youth ministry for 2 years. Yep. And I did one lock-in the first year, and I didn't do another one. I was exhausted. I was like 21 at that time, and I had all the energy in the world. And I was like, never again am I doing that.
I enjoy them, but we don't have that many. We have, I don't know, 5 or 6 a year, but probably maybe not that, maybe 3 or 4 a year. But
5 or 6 lock-ins?
Yeah, when I was younger and I wasn't working full time, when I first came to Front Street, it was much easier. When I was younger, too, I wasn't working full time. It was much easier for me to be supportive of lock-ins and be glad to help out with them. I'm still glad to help out with them, but when I've worked all week and it's Friday night and I have to go stay up all night, it's interesting. I think there's a reason why lock-ins are usually some of the hardest things to find leaders who will volunteer to help out with, because I mean it's that's a big commitment. So we've got one coming up this week actually.
What age group? Or just all of them, or
it'll be all the students? So it'll be 6th through 12th grade. So but it'll be fun. We're doing something a little different. We're going out and we're going to have to play laser tag first, and then instead of coming back to the church and playing games like we usually do, we're splitting off to different people's houses. So it's going to be a little different for us. I think it'll be a good change from our normal process. I'm not sure that it's going to entail any more sleep, but it'll be good.
The coolest lock-in story I've ever heard is someone did one at one of the trampoline parks, like indoor parks.
Yeah.
They did the lock-in there. Now, that sounds fun, but things like broke their leg in the first 30 minutes. So it's typical.
Yeah, there's a trampoline park going in about 15 minutes from us here. So we may do that once it's opened up. But somebody inevitably gets hurt. We had, when I first started helping out with the youth, there was one girl that was, I guess, just really accident prone. We knew that pretty much anytime we did something, she was going to get hurt in some way. And usually like weird freak accident, she was going to get hurt. Never anything serious. I don't even think she ever broke a bone. But previously, before working in IT, I worked as an EMT. And so I was usually the guy who then had to tend to whatever student just got injured at our event. But certainly interesting.
The first youth trip I ever went on, we did a camp. We did it ourselves at a location. We were playing dodgeball, and I actually broke a guy's thumb playing dodgeball. and didn't realize it for like 2 weeks later.
That's some intense dodgeball, man.
It was.
That reminds me of back when I was in high school. We used to. I grew up as a preacher's kid, so we lived right next to the door of the church, and we had access to it. And so we'd get friends over and go up in the Awana game room and play what we just called kill ball, which was basically dodgeball, but you couldn't get out. So we just kept pelting each other, you know, until everybody got too tired to do anything. And yeah, I think some people may have gotten injured during some of those events.
I'm sure. Well, as we kind of come towards an end of the episode, one thing we do each week is the plug of the week. I'll let you kick it off. Do you have any plugs that you want to give, any resources? It could be a book, a podcast, music. It could be just about anything. The only one you can't recommend is your podcast, because I'm going to do that one. So,
all right. I don't know that I would recommend my own podcast anyway. I don't think I could bring myself to do that. But I would recommend Nine Marks. And I know that's a really broad recommendation, because they've got a podcast and they've got a ton of resources on their website.
And an app and now.
Different things. And yeah, and an app. And but if you're looking for stuff about church polity and wide range of topics, odds are they have a book, they've written an article, something, there's some information they have out there on basically everything to do with your local church. And so I would highly recommend the folks over at Nine Marks.
All right. That's the only one you got?
If we're doing two, I'll...
You can give as many as you want.
All right. I'll also recommend our friends over at the Baptist Review. Put out articles each week dealing with stuff in Baptist life, not necessarily mostly SBC, but not necessarily just SBC, theological topics. And I would definitely recommend checking out baptistreview.org and check out the resources that they have.
Awesome. All right. My two recommendations. The first one is actually the Potluck Podcast, SBC. Make sure you put that SBC on there whenever you you search for it.
Yeah, there are some other potluck podcasts out there, but
yeah, I made that mistake the first time that I was going on iTunes. Yep. It's a great podcast. I know he didn't explain the format, but really, what they do is they break down a few topics, normally about three topics each episode, really about stuff that's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's definitely a great resource to know what's going on and hear about, you know, the issues, but they also talk about the good things that's going on, just not the negative. The other resource I have, which is coincidentally similar to his, is the book Church Elders by Nine Marks. Jerame Ryan is the one that wrote the book. And he really, the book is it's a great book. I actually had a buddy of mine read it last week. He read it in, I think, 2 days. It's a pretty easy book to read. And it's just a great book in laying out there the really how the church polity is when it comes to elders and different things like that. Such a great resource. So is the podcast. I recommend both of them. So as we get to an end, JR, is there anything you just want to add or say before we get off of here?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, just real quick, just tell us how we can contact and get up with y'all's podcast, any social media links, how they can find it on iTunes or Google or whatever.
Sure, definitely. We are out there on iTunes and most of the podcast catchers. The easiest way to think of this is probably on Facebook. So that's facebook.com/potluckpodcastSBC. We also have a Twitter account that's @potluckpodcast_. But each episode links are going to be published on Facebook. That would really be the easiest way to find out about it. You'll have direct links there where you can click and listen to the podcast.
All right. Awesome. Go check it out. Great resource. Great podcast. But make sure you keep listening to this one too. But as we get ready to go, this has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast, and we hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, man.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in.